High Point Church, how are y'all doing? Good. I pointed at D and I laughed because last time I came out, he called me Wild Man. He's like, who's Wild Bill walking out here? So, yeah, the hair's getting a little out of control, but I'm having fun with it. So, quick question. How many of you had spaghetti last week? Nobody? Man, I was like a social experiment. I figured that after saying, you know, some things about spaghetti and posting a few pictures that it would have led people to eat some spaghetti, but I guess you all are not impressionable with that type of way, which can be good. So I'm proud of you, not to fall under the peer pressure. But man, I'm so excited to have you all here with us today. Second Sunday of 2020, which is awesome. So we are continuing on with our New Year's series called Faith Forward. And what we're talking about is we're going through some very clear and intentional steps that we can take to grow our faith, right? To move our faith forward. In 2020, I hope and I pray that each and every one of you that call Life Point Church home, whether you're here now, you're listening on the podcast, that your faith would start at one point, wherever it is right now, and then at the end of the year, you'd look back and be like, man, my faith has really moved forward. I have grown closer to God, and I feel more connected to Him, and as a result, I've done more for the kingdom, and I've truly lived out who He's called me to be this year. And I pray that for myself, I pray that for our team, and I pray that for each and every person that's here. And the thing is that there are some very clear, intentional, easy things that we can do to actually make this happen. It's not as difficult as we make it out to be many times. So that's what we're going to work through for the rest of the series. For the rest of the series today, we're going to talk about connecting with God, right? So in order for us to move faith forward, we've got to actually connect with God. Next week, we're going to talk about connecting with God's people, with each other, iron sharpening iron, right? Doing life together. And then finally, we're going to talk about our faith in action. But last week we kicked it off, if you remember, just a quick recap. We talked about how when approaching our spiritual journey, right, moving forward in our faith, we have to understand what I call this faith forward foundation. And really, the faith forward foundation is grace. It's simply grace. One, we have to have grace for salvation, right? We're never going to really start to move forward in our faith until we really kind of step over that line of belief. We really place our faith and trust in God. You know, we begin to grow and study and we're checking things out and trying to learn more about Jesus, but it's when we step over that line of faith and give our heart and our everything to Jesus, become one of His followers, confess and believe, that's when the journey really kicks off. And that's only done through grace, right? For by grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. That's it. The second thing is that we talked about with this faith forward foundation is that we have to have grace for our messiness, right? Because whenever you really start getting honest and digging in to growing spiritually, to trying to understand God more, to seek Him more, to actually live out your faith, to do all these things, it gets messy. It's never going to be perfect. From start to finish, we are never going to be perfect, and this faith forward journey is never going to be perfect. So we have to receive grace. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to receive His grace. That's why he gave it to us. It's a gift. He wants us to wrestle with things. He wants us to work through our fears, work through our doubts, because He knows we're going to have them. That's why I said last week, you know, we've got to start eating solid food, right? We can't just stay on milk. We can't be spoon-fed our whole life. We got to start feeding ourselves and really digging into it. And when we do it, sometimes it gets messy. I said God wants us to get spaghetti all over our face, right? He wants us to dig in. And when we can actually understand grace, step back, not put so much pressure and stress on ourselves to be perfect, we can actually begin to move forward. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As we continue to move through this series, we're going to talk about connecting with God. And when you think about growing spiritually, when you think about a faith-forward journey, it's really a no-brainer to know that part of that is that we have to connect with God, right? If we're going to grow in any relationship in our lives, whether it be with God or with the people in our life, whether it be our spouse, the person that we're dating, our friends, coworkers, our kids, whoever it is, you've got to connect with them. You've got to spend time with them in order to move that relationship forward. You got to get to know them. You got to ask them some questions, right? You got to probably going to stalk them on social media at some point. It's okay. We all do it. And if you act like you don't, you're lying. And you're in a good place for that. You're free to work through that. God's grace is sufficient for your social media lies. But you're going to find out more about them, right? You're going to dig in a little bit. And then as you come together, you're going to be honest with them. You're going to be open with them. That's what a healthy, strong relationship looks like. And you're going to laugh together. And you're going to cry together. And you're going to celebrate things together. And you're going to seek each other out for like understanding and all these different areas that you're going to have to connect to actually move forward. And again, it's no different than working through and growing in our relationship with Jesus, right? We have to connect with him. We've got to put in some work. See, a lot of times we like to think, well, God, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to confess and believe, and now I'm a believer. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a Christian. So now I'm just going to sit back, and God, I'm just going to let you just supernaturally give me all the wisdom and insight and everything. But relationships are two ways, right? It's two-sided. If you did that in your marriage, your partner's not going to be real happy with you. Because if they're putting in all the work, it's going to create friction and tension, and it's not going to be healthy, and it's definitely not going to move forward. It's probably going to move backwards. It takes both parties doing the work. And if you think that you're going to move forward in your faith and that you're going to grow spiritually just by sitting back and waiting on God to do everything, you're fooling yourself. Check out Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And check this out, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are you earnestly seeking God this morning? Have you earnestly sought after God this past week? If you want to move faith forward, we've got to. It's a must. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to connect with God. You see, God is always, always going to do his part in this relationship. He's perfect. He's God. He will do his part. The question is are we? Are we going to connect with him? Are we going to step up to the plate and say, you know what, God, I am so thankful that you've given me grace and you've poured that upon me and that you love me regardless of what I do. You gave me life. You gave me hope. You gave me salvation. So therefore, I'm going to do everything I can to connect with you, to know you more, to worship you, to celebrate you, to take everything to you. I want my faith to move forward. Are we going to do our part? We have to connect with him. We've got to. And so for the rest of our time this morning, and we've got, you know, sorry, a lot to cover because I'm long-winded. Y'all know this, and y'all love me anyway. See, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. So, but we're going to look at four things that we can and should and must do in order to move our faith forward, right? That we have to do. And these things are going to be no surprise to you, I don't think. They're going to be things that you've been taught before and that you've heard, but the problem is that for some reason, we struggle to implement it. We know it, but a lot of times, we just kind of don't do it. And it's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's because we're so busy, right? Because of our busyness. Sometimes it's a lack of understanding. Or fear, like we get overwhelmed and so we don't do these things, or we don't understand enough about it, so we just kind of avoid it. Or we think it's for everybody else, but not for us. Sometimes it's because of our doubt or insecurity. Sometimes it's because of shame and guilt from things that we've done. So we feel like, you know what, I don't know that I can do these things because of who I was in the past. Or what I did last night, or what I actually just did. And so we create this false concept in our minds that God doesn't love us, so we can't connect with him. And that's what the enemy wants. Because the longer he can keep you from connecting with God, the more ineffective you're going to be. You see, we have to connect with God. And so again, we're going to roll through these four things, and I want you throughout this to remember our Faith Forward foundation. Right? This is not a shame and blame. This is not, you better do this. If not, God's going to be upset with you. It's not that. It's we need to do these things so that we can grow closer to God and move our faith forward, because he longs for that. But along the way, when he gets messy and when we screw up and when we fail, he's going to give us grace so that we can continue to move forward. So check it out. Four things that we can do and must do in order to connect with God and to move our faith forward. And to no surprise, the first one is prayer. It's prayer. Prayer is essential. It's one of the most common things we hear and talk about in church. Something that we do every Sunday in church is pray. Yet we overcomplicate it so many times, so much so that people just don't do it because they feel like there's all these rules that they have to follow. Like, do I got to bow my head? Do I have to close my eyes? Do I have to speak a certain way? Do I have to say certain things? Can I not say certain things? Should I avoid saying these things? And I don't know if I'm doing it right, and I don't want God to be mad at me, or I don't want to look stupid, so I'm just not going to do it. When in reality, it's one of the key things that we need to do to connect with God, because in order to connect with him, to build a relationship, we need to speak with him. And again, it's really simple. I kind of want you to just to take all your preconceived notions about prayer and just throw them out the window and just look at scripture and see some of the key things that we can do to increase our prayer life. And they're real simple. The first thing we see is that in order to really connect with God and pray, we have to keep it real with God and talk to him about everything. Just be honest with him. I've said this before, but newsflash, like God already knows. If you're mad at him, he knows. If you don't want to pray because of whatever reason, he knows. If you're struggling to pray, he knows that too. Tell him, God, I want to talk to you, but I'm just struggling right now. I don't know what to say. Or I'm frustrated, or I'm angry. Just talk to him. He's big enough to handle it. He's kind of God. He can handle how you might be feeling in that moment. So be honest with him. And talk to him about everything. But we got to be honest with him. I love this passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We see Moses, he's talking to God, and he's super honest. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, and this is what he's saying to God, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on these people. And you have not rescued your people at all." The dude was honest about how he was feeling. He had some questions for God. And very respectfully, but very honestly, he asked God, "Is this it? Is this, I did what you wanted me to do. And all that's happened ever since is these people are in a mess. They're in trouble. And you're not rescuing them. What's going on?" He's just being honest. And if we want our relationship with God to move to the next level, connect with him, move faith forward, we've got to be honest with God. And we have to talk with him about everything. Maybe the greatest verse in 2020 that we as people, as a culture, and a society that we need to implement in our lives is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Hello? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Whatever you're anxious about, take it to God. Tell him. Ask him to remove that. Ask him to give you peace. Talk to him about everything. Be honest. The other thing that we need to do in order to continue to increase our prayer life is we talk to God continuously. I love the fact that we can just talk to God throughout the day. Again, we like to put prayer in a box that we have to be in certain environments and certain situations in order to pray or to really, really connect with God. And the reality is we can talk to God all day long at any point in time, just casually throughout the day talking to God. And that keeps you focused on him. That keeps you connected to God. And it allows him to speak to you throughout the day. And so you all are actually in relationship. It's incredible. The fact that we have that ability and that privilege and that opportunity to connect with God on such an intimate level. And we should do it continuously. We should never stop. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 reminds us. It says, rejoice always. Something that we don't do. But we need to rejoice always and pray continuously. Just pray continuously. Get prayer out of the box. For me, some of the most intimate times that I have with God, the times that I feel the most connected with him in prayer are in non-traditional prayer environments. Driving in a car. Sometimes I need a lot of prayer when I drive in a car. But I'm just driving, I start talking to God. In the shower, maybe TMI, I don't know. We all do it, I hope. But it's, you know, if you got kids, it's one of the few like quiet places in your house. Maybe. But talking to God while in the shower. Out in nature, or you know, standing on the beach, looking out into the ocean, or at the lake, or just standing in the neighborhood and watching the sunset or the sunrise, whatever. Just talking to God through that on the golf course. These are the times that I'm like connecting with God and just praying in a non-traditional environment. But we need to be honest with God. Talk to him about everything and pray continuously. Those are the things, simple things that you can do to begin to increase your prayer life. And it's necessary for us to pray, to spend time with God in order to move our faith forward and connect with him. The second thing that we need to do and to put into practice to connect with God is solitude. It's solitude. Now, I am the least qualified person to stand up here, sit up here, and talk to you all about solitude. Because honestly, I have in my life, I'm 37, I have been terrified of solitude. I don't like it. I get my energy by being around people. It just is scary to me. I'm afraid to be alone with my thoughts sometimes. But it's something that I've begun to put into practice. It's something that I believe is critical and important for us. And I'll be honest, it's not easy, but it is incredible when you're able to actually get away and get alone with God. Solitude is so, so important. And I speak to you as someone who struggles with that, as someone that has not liked solitude throughout my life. But it's important. And it's important for a few reasons that we see from Scripture. One is that Jesus did it. It was important to Jesus. And so if it's important to Jesus, and he demonstrated that and put that into practice in his earthly ministry, I want in, right? It's obviously important. We see in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus made it a point to get away and get alone with God. And so if we're going to say that that's not for us, then we're basically saying that, hey, Jesus, that might have been good for you. You might have needed that. We don't. I'm not going to say that. Not one bit. It's important. It was important to Jesus. Therefore, it should be important to us. The other thing, the reason that it's so important, it's been important to me, is that when you're actually able to quiet, get in the quiet, drown everything else out, and focus on Jesus, you can hear him more clearly. You see, in our world today, everything is fighting for our attention constantly. Constantly busy, constantly got the next thing going, constantly thinking through our list of things that we have to do. I don't care what you do for a profession, whether you are an executive and have a billion things going on, whether you're a custodian, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a stay-at-home parent. I don't care. You have a list that is, you're retired. I've talked to so many people that are retired, say they're busier now and have more responsibilities as a retired individual than they did when they were working. But we have all these things going around in our brain, and it's hard for us to actually hear the voice of God. Solitude helps with that. And we need to put that into practice. Now, if that is something that you're not used to, or something that you're, like me, that you've been afraid of, take baby steps into it. Don't say, you know what? It was good for Jesus. I got to do it. Now I'm going out to the woods for 2 days. Nothing else. I ain't taking nothing with me but my Bible. Don't do that if that's not your jam, especially if you're not like a wilderness person. That's not what I'm saying. Don't do that. Start small. Go find a place in your house or your apartment that is quiet. When the kids or the family's gone, go just sit. Maybe go out to your car, right? If no one else is out there and it's quiet in your neighborhood, just go sit in your car. Spend time with God. Start praying and then say, God, speak to me what you want me to hear, what I need to do, or if there's a situation that you're working on, just sit and be. Listen. Don't be afraid of the silence. Trust that God will fill that silence with truth, with connection, with feelings of love. He'll do that. And for some of you, you put that into practice, and it's so natural for you, and it re-energizes you, and I love that. But for others, it's a challenge. But start to practice it. I promise you, you will start to appreciate it more and more, and God will begin to speak with you when you're able to really put into practice solitude. It will grow your faith, and you'll begin to move forward. The third thing that we see is that we need to put into practice to connect with God is fasting. Right? Fasting. When we read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see just littered throughout it, people fasting and praying. It is not like a one-off. It's not something you see one time. You see it all the time, especially when people are praying intently, praying for over people or praying for God to move or to do something or to make a decision. We see fasting and prayer. For example, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, we find that Daniel was praying and desperately seeking God for his people. And it says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. He pleaded with him. He fasted and he prayed. In Acts 13, verses 2 through 3, before Barnabas and Saul, who's later known as Paul, were commissioned and sent out, we see this. It says that one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, don't miss that, worshiping the Lord and fasting, it was a part of their normal worship. When they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So they're worshiping, right? They're fasting. Holy Spirit speaks to them and says, do this. And then they said, okay, let's make sure we're hearing from God. So then they fast more and they pray more, and then they commission them and send them out. Fasting is something that we need to implement. And honestly, it's something that many of us have heard about, we know about, but it's not something that many people put into practice all the time or a lot. Maybe some of y'all have never truly fasted and fasted biblically. I think back when I was in high school and people would be like, oh, we're going to, you know, this first of the year and we're going to fast for 10 days or for the first, every Friday in January, we're going to fast all day long from food and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, cool. And I did it because it was like, you check it off your good Christian list because that's what everyone was doing. So I'm going to do it too. And I'm going to complain the whole time about it, how hungry I am, and just make it through. And then as soon as the sun goes down, I'm just going to like feed my face, right? But that's not the spirit in which we're to fast. There's other scripture in there that talks about, in the Bible, that talks about, don't, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who make themselves look disheveled and all sad and bummed out so that everyone knows that they're fasting. It says that at that point, they're getting their reward already. But instead, you know, wash your face, fix your hair, be healthy, be happy. Because you're doing that to connect with God. Not to brag, not to say, hey, look how spiritual I am. It's to be done in secret. Just as we connect with God that way. We're to fast. And notice that it's always fast and what? Pray. Fast and pray. See, when I was younger, I didn't get it. I wasn't really taught to get it. Or maybe I was and I just wasn't listening. That's probably a good reality. But I just fasted because, well, God's going to bless me because that's what I'm supposed to do, and this is great, and I'm going to fast and blah, 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 and keep it moving. But it was always kind of just empty. But the reality is when we fast, we're supposed to fill that in with prayer. So if you're fasting from food for a day or 2 days or whatever you feel led to do, any time that you feel like you would normally eat or that you're feeling hungry, stop and pray. It's to push us closer to God. It's to help us connect with him in a deeper level. I remember, I'll never forget it, about 6 or 7 years ago at LifePoint, our leadership team, we picked a day and during 1 week and just pick one day and fast from whatever you feel led to fast from. And I fasted from food. And I remember being about halfway through my workday and just being so hungry, which I really wasn't, but my body was like, dude, you need to eat. You're used to eating. And it was, and so I stopped and I just spent some time with God. And it was in that moment that God told me, like, hey, you know how hungry you are right now? You've had this physical effect on your body and on your brain, and you're thinking about food and your stomach's growling and it's cramping up and all this stuff. When you're not in the Word, when you're not connecting with me, you should feel the same way. And that has stuck with me ever since, because God connected with me and I connected with him on a real level while fasting. And he revealed some things that I probably already knew, but I didn't know it in here. And I didn't believe it. I didn't embrace it. So I know that when I'm not in the Word and when I'm not spending time with God, I need to crave it like that. I should crave it like that. And if I'm not, I need to figure out why. Fasting is powerful in our faith forward journey. And again, you can fast from many things. It's not just food. It could be from certain drinks. It could be from social media. I know people that do social media fasts every year. I did a Facebook fast about 5 years ago for a month, and I've never been back on. It was like a fast that just continued. But you can fast from your cell phone, believe it or not. You can fast from TV, whatever it may be. But whatever you do, I want to challenge you to just start slow and begin to fast. And as you do that, pray. Spend time with him. It's not just to do it, to check it off a list, but it's to spend more intimate time with God and truly be locked in and connected with him. The final thing that we can put into practice to truly connect with God and to move our faith forward is to take in the Bible. All right? Like I said, these are things that you know. But I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many of you all actually spent time in God's Word this past week? Quality time. I want you to think about that, because we know it. And again, this isn't, I'm not coming at you in a shame and blame perspective or approach, but it's from grace. Because if that's where you were, that's fine. That's where you are. Keep it real with yourself. That's where I was, but that's not where I want to be this week. And God's grace is sufficient to cover that messiness right there, and I can move forward. But we've got to spend time in His Word. You see, it's one of the key ways that He speaks to us. It's one of the key ways that we can connect with Him is to getting into the Word, and I want you to do so from how God has created you, from how you're wired. See, that was something that I was never taught. Again, it was all put in a box. Read your Bible for 15 minutes every day, pray for 15 minutes every day, and if you don't do that, God's going to be mad at you. And this really kind of basically what I was taught. Read it first thing in the morning. If not, you're going to have a terrible day. And if you do anything, when you wake up and you don't pick up that Bible and start reading it, that means you've put things before God. No. Read it the way God has wired you. Some people aren't morning people, so don't just buzz through it to check it off your list. Find that time when you can actually spend time and connect with God and read it. Or maybe for you, you don't like to read and you get distracted, so listen to it. Listen to podcasts, listen to other preachers. God, again, there's some honesty. God, I'm trying hard to find you. He says, don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then in verse 15, he says, I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. He's hiding God's word in his heart. That means he's taking it in. He's memorizing or he's reading it. He's letting it soak so that when he runs up against something, man, scripture pops in his head and he knows what to do. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, when we're messy, you know, it corrects us and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Scripture is from God. End of story. It's given to us by God, and it's to help us. It's to be a roadmap for you. It's to encourage you. It's to correct you. It's to help you have hope, right? So that you are equipped to do the things that God has called you to do the things that God has created you to do. So in order to fully do that, you got to connect with him. And you do that through getting into his word. And I feel like I need to make a note as I was kind of planning on this. It continued to pop into my head is quality over quantity. Something that I wish I was taught when I was younger and throughout my faith journey. Quality over quantity. Yes, it's perfectly fine to read a ton of scripture. If you can take that in, do it. But I would rather someone read two or three verses, one verse, take it in, receive it, pray over it, let God speak to them through that verse and apply it to their life and to grow than for someone to read three chapters, buzz through it, speed read it, shut the book, and keep it moving. Sure, you've read the Bible. Yeah, you do that, you're going to read through the Bible a couple times throughout the year. Good for you. But if you're not applying it, if it's not changing you, if you're not connecting with God through it, it's pointless. It's checking it off its list. Yes, I believe if you do that, God is going to speak to you and he's going to work it in, but quality over quantity. Not about checking it off your list. It's about spending time with God. It's about connecting with him. It's about reading his truth, his words, and saying, God, speak to me. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me how I need to apply this in my life. I'm going through this situation. This seems like it lines up. God, just help me to understand. God, thank you for giving me this roadmap. Man, I was in a tough spot, and this this your truth popped in my head that I'd read earlier, and I applied it, and man, it's just been incredible. If we want to move faith forward, connecting with God, He's always going to do His part. Always. We've got to do ours. And again, this is coming from that faith-forward foundation of grace. It's not religion. It's not, you know, that you some conservatism that you have to do this, this, and this, and this, then God's happy. And if you don't do this, this, and this, and this, God's mad at you. It's about connecting with God. It's about connecting with the one who gave His life for you so that you could be set free, so that you could know Him, so that you could actually have the privilege to do these things. So again, wherever you're at in your faith journey right now, whether you don't believe at all and you're just kind of checking things out, there's a step to take there. That's to continue to check out the claims of Jesus, talk to some of these incredible people here that know Jesus as their Savior, and then begin to move forward until you get to that point where by grace you've been saved and you confess and believe. But maybe for you, you are a Christ follower, and you're at this point here, and you know that maybe it's taken you a long time to get there, and it's been a journey, right? It's a lot of messiness, but this is where you're at. That's where you're at. That's beautiful. It's great. But we don't need to stay there, right? So what is it that you need to do? You need to begin to implement to take it to the next level, to begin truly connecting with God so that your faith can move forward. Maybe it's one of these things that's missing. Maybe it's one of these things that you've kind of muddied up and you've been afraid of. Just take a little step. Take a step forward. We want to be here, but I'm sorry, immediate gratification doesn't work in spiritual growth. You're not going to say, okay, Andy, those are all great things. Tomorrow I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to spend my whole day doing all those things, and then boom, it's going to be great. If you try to do all that, it's probably going to be frustrating and exhausting. So take the next step. God's going to show you what the next step is. Your job is to be obedient and take it. Whether it begin to pray honestly or to begin to try to practice solitude, spending alone time with God, quieting everything out. Maybe it's fasting. Spend some time fasting. I really hope and pray that you all will be fasting this at least this month. In some way, shape, or form. I'm going to be doing that at just different times throughout the month of January, and I pray that you all would join me in that. Maybe you need to just to dig into God's Word a little more. Commit more time to it. Listen to it. Study it. Talk to people about it. Whatever your next step is, be bold enough to take it. Because I promise you, when you do that, your faith will begin to move forward, and you'll begin to connect with God like never before. Let's pray. God, as we come to you right now, Lord, and in prayer, Lord, first I just want to thank you, God, that you have given us the privilege to speak to you, to come before you, just to take our burdens and our cares to you, to come before you to worship you, to thank you for all the things that you've done for us, for all of our blessings. God, to come to you and say, God, I don't understand what's going on. Why is this happening? It seems like you're not doing the things that you could be doing, or you're doing some things that I wish you shouldn't. God, we thank you for that privilege to come and honestly and boldly speak to you, to come before your throne. And may we never take that for granted. For the fact that we can spend time with you, that we can remove things from our daily life and replace it with connection with you, God, and that we have your word that we can study, that is a light into our feet, a light into our path, God, that guides us, teaches us. We're thankful for these things, God, and may we begin to really put them into practice in our lives in a real and authentic way, not to check it off the good Christian list, but to connect with you, to know you more, to spend more time with you, to be in constant connection with you, God. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning, as I just said just a few minutes ago. Maybe your next step in your faith forward journey is to connect with God for the very first time, to step over that line of faith and to give your life to Him, truly give your life to Him. To understand that you're not a believer, you're not a Christian because you spent some time in church or because your parents are or because you think you are or you're a good person or all those things that we kind of can get mixed up with, but nothing but connecting with Jesus. Believing that God sent His Son to die on a cross for us, to take on our sin, our shame upon Himself, and die so that we could be forgiven. And then victoriously rose from the grave, defeating death for us, for you. So if that's you and you're ready to take that step, Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's not through your works. It's only through confessing and believing. Confessing that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you need a Savior, and then believing that God sent His Son Jesus, and Jesus is the only way. So if that's you, just from your seat, you can just spend that time with God. Confess and believe. Just talk with Him. Again, there's no specific things you have to say. It's not in a box. You just confess and believe, and you spend time with Jesus. Or if you want, I'd be more than happy to talk with you after the service and walk you through that or answer any questions you have. I'm here for you. I'm here for it. But if that's you, man, take that next step. Or maybe you are a Christ follower and you know that your faith needs to begin to move forward. All of our faith needs to move forward. It's a forever journey that we're on to connect more and more with Jesus. So of those things that we talked about, just spend some time with God right now and listen to Him and see what it is that He wants you to begin to implement. What's that next step for you in your faith journey to connect more and more with Him? And whatever He reveals to you, I want to challenge you to begin to put it in practice today and then tomorrow and every step thereafter. And then when He reveals another step, take it. And then the next step, take it. And yes, it's going to get messy, but there's grace. Spend time with God while the team leads. God, we thank You for Your truth and Your love. I pray that You would bless each person that's here this morning. God, I pray that You would speak to them exactly what it is that they need to hear from You this morning, and that they would quiet everything else out in this moment and hear from You. God, begin to change lives. God, may we do our part in that. We know You're always there. You're always going to do Your part. May we do our part in connecting with You, God. May we be a church and a people that longs to grow closer to You. Grow closer to You so that we can go and tell others about You, Father. May we be that church and those people.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill, Your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I belong
you're still spending time with God, keep doing that. This time we're going to continue on with our worship through our tithes and our offerings. The team will go ahead and come forward. Here at Life Point Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give when the basket passes. There'll be a basket out on the info table on your way out. Or you can go online to our website. Top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You can click it, and it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. However you choose to give, whatever method, we just encourage you to be faithful in your giving so that we can continue to connect, so that we continue to take the gospel forward and continue to love on our community. So we encourage you to do that and be faithful in your giving there. Also, if this is your first time out to Life Point Church, thank you all so much for being here. You are our honored guests, and we're just so thankful that you chose Life Point to worship today. But if you would just take a quick second on your way out the door, before you get to the door, on these two tables, there's some connection cards, and at the table out in the lobby, there's some connection cards as well. It says "Let's Do Life" at the top. If you would just take a quick second and fill that out with just whatever information you're comfortable filling out. We'd love to connect with you, get to know you a little bit more, follow up with you via email or phone or whatever your preferred method is. We're not going to come track you down or anything like that. We just want to get to know you better, and we're just thankful that you're here. Also, if you have any questions or prayer needs, prayer requests, if you made decisions for Christ, or you want to begin to take some steps forward, and you want some encouragement and accountability, or you have questions about that, you can fill that out on the connection card and pass it off to me, or leave it in one of the baskets at the info table, and we'll get back with you on that. Other than that, announcement-wise, today, directly following this, we're going to have soup and sandwiches over in the chapel, so we'll have our monthly community meal, and it smells great over there. I think there's some other things other than sandwiches, and if there's not, it's only soups and sandwiches, man, they're fire today. They smell great. So make sure you stick around for that and connect with somebody. Also, towards the end of that community meal, we're gonna spend some time. We're gonna open up and just kind of have just a, I guess you would call it a meeting. I don't know. I just want to share some things that are going on at Life Point.